Talking today with Scott DeWald from the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association. Scott, let's talk about several things here, if we could today, and we'll start with something that's already happened in the springtime of 2012. We had, of course, our latest legislative session wrapped up at the end of May, as the Constitution requires that it does. It seemed like we came right down to that end of the session, and we still had decisions to make, even as things were wrapping up.
Yeah, there were some huge decisions that were put off to the very end. Part of that is you really don't get into a place where you negotiate hard until you get up against a timeline. And so I think that's part of the reason. But, you know, we had the budget setting out there late. We had the tax issues setting out there late. We had a couple of water bills setting out there late as well. So that's not anything new. That's how we generally operate in the legislatures. Those things are put off until, you know, they take care of a whole lot of other business. And they were able to successfully take care of everything and go home without a threat of a special session, which is always good news for the state. And so on Friday, the 25th of May, they adjourned and went their respective ways. Nothing happened in terms of tax policy changes late in the session in terms of the income tax. We had a few things happen in terms of property tax personal property tax on livestock was important to us this year, and we had some reforms there. But they did come out with a budget. They got the budget approved and had some last-minute wrangling, which you're always going to expect, especially in a political year, an election year, as people are trying to posture and such and be on the record on particular issues. It maybe took a little more time than usual, but certainly nothing unusual as far as an election year politics at the end of session.
If you had to pick one or two things that you thought were notable from an agricultural perspective or cattle industry perspective, what that either were accomplished or were averted?
Well, I think the big one to us was the income tax issue and the possible elimination or ratcheting down of personal income tax and the offset to that. What happens when you lose that revenue? Do you increase property taxes? Do you increase fees? What do you do to finance state government? That's one of those big deals that didn't happen that we were quite frankly concerned about, because we didn't know what the other revenue sources were going to be, and we certainly didn't want it to be the ranchers or the state of Oklahoma or the farmers or landholders in the state of Oklahoma having to foot the bill. So while a lot of people were probably critical of the whole discussion that took place on tax credits and all those things, I don't think there's anything wrong with the legislature having serious discussions about those every once in a while. I think it's kind of like that old cow, she never comes unmilked. You need to totally, completely be revisiting that from time to time to make sure that you're in step with what's happening with the rest of the region, make sure that you can attract jobs, make sure that you can provide services and goods that the people demand and core services. So I don't think it was a exercise in futility, as I've heard it called by some. I think there was some just general good dialogue about how are we going to finance the core services of the state of Oklahoma.
Let's talk about, and you mentioned to me as we started, that we've got elections, not just in November, not just in August, but in June this year, of all things, an early, early, early primary.
Yeah, and I just hope that doesn't catch anybody off guard. But we have 101 House races going on. Every 2 years, we reelect everyone in the House that's eligible for reelection. Some have termed out, and then we do half of the Senate, and then we have the statewide races, our congressional races that are going on out there. The primary this year is very early because of the presidential primary, back things up to June 26th. I think the reason that's significant is that on the House side, if I remember right, there are 11 races that will be decided on June the 26th. And so if people think, well, I'm going to wait till November and then I'll cast my vote, there may not be a reason to do that. That election may already have taken place and a winner determined. So if people want to be involved in the political process and exercise their right to vote, they're going to have to do so early, and that's going to be that day of June 26th is when this primary is. So I think that's critically important that we keep our eyes and ears open on what's happening there, because, quite frankly, our success or failure next year is dependent upon who gets elected.
Do we have any of our stronger rural agricultural supporters within the legislature? Are they at a point of terming out yet?
They are. They're getting dangerously close in terms of Ron Justice. He's not there yet, but he's getting close. Don Arms is not there yet, but he's getting close. Dale DeWitt, not there yet, but getting close. And so Yeah, that's we're going to be seeing in the next 2 to 4 years some significant changes there. Not to say that we can't bring some good agriculturalists in behind them, but we have enjoyed over the course of the last few years some really strong agricultural leadership. Eddie Fields has a little more time over in the Senate side than Ron Justice does, and then you've got the rest of both of your ag committees on each side. Phil Richardson, a great ag guy, decided to retire early, turned 70. He didn't term out. He just said, I've had enough and wanted to do some other things. I really thank him for his service over the course of the last few years. I can say that because he's not running for reelection. He's not asking for this plug, but really a guy that sacrificed a lot of his own personal time to make sure that agriculture was taken care of at the Capitol building.
Right. And of course, he vet and also involved with the hog industry, so he understood animal agriculture.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he raises cattle. He has hogs. He was a veterinarian by trade. Hasn't practiced veterinary medicine for a while, but still participated among all the veterinarians at the OVMA conference and that type of thing. So brought a really neat perspective to us in terms of what needed to be happening out there in that side of the industry. So that's the kind of guy you're going to lose a lot. You're going to miss a lot because of his institutional knowledge of what's happening in production ag in Oklahoma.
Let's talk about some of your events coming up. You've got two pretty significant events, one in June, one in July. Actually, one in August, too, that we mentioned. But June, we've got coming up right away, Ranch Tour.
Right, we do. And I'm going to back you up just a little bit. We just completed a great junior preview show in Stillwater this past week or two. A great event with about 300 kids and all their cattle. And it's a preview show to for their junior national events. And we've got some great talent that's going to be traveling the country, going to the Angus Junior National, Hereford Junior National, Brangus Junior National, all these kind of things. Oklahoma's going to be very well represented. Our next big event comes up in June. And that's our OCA Summer Tour, this will be our 22nd annual summer tour. We're going to go up through north central Oklahoma. We started these as a way to get our ranch members on other ranches to learn from those other ranchers, learn about the new genetics, and learn about the new technologies that they're using, and hopefully they can take those home and put them to work on their place and be better for it.
Let's talk about convention, Midwest City again, latter part of July.
Yeah, we're going to take, about 3.5 weeks and after tour and get ready for convention. Of course, we've already got a lot of the speakers lined up. The Cattlemen's College is pretty much lined up. That'll all be lined up in time for the July issue of the Cowman Magazine as we put that thing together. But looking forward, this will be our 60th annual OCA convention and trade show in Midwest City at the Reed Center. Anticipate a huge crowd. We generally have a great crowd. Have some really good speakers lined up for this year. So I think it'll be a great event.
And, of course, trade show goes along with that, so you've got a lot of things that will go for a lot of folks.
Well, we do. You know, the trade show is about 108 different vendors that will be there, vendors and agencies of government as well. Department of Ag will be there, Animal Health and that type of thing. But we have about 108 of those vendors. Our members spend the majority of their time visiting with those trade show booths, those feedlot operators and such, trying to garner more information from them. That's where the real meeting takes place, is when they're out there talking to those vendors. We also have Don Close, who you'll remember from Texas Cattle Feeders Association, coming in to give the cattle market outlook on Saturday. We got Jeff Rash coming in. Jeff will do our inspirational breakfast for us on Saturday morning. Howard Wasden's coming in. I'm really excited about this man. He wrote the book SEAL Team 6, and he will be there to do our opening general session. So you take that and add on top of that an Oklahoma Junior Cattlemen's Association convention and an Oklahoma Cattle Women's Association convention all at the same time. All the cattle people will be in Midwest City at the Reed Center July 25, 6, 7, and 8.